join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Jeremiah, the 15th chapter and verse 19. First, I'm going to read it from the King James Version, and then it'll get a little clearer when we read it from the New Living Translation. Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Traditional King James said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou," he speak here to Jeremiah, "if thou return, then I will bring thee again. Thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." Now this is Jeremiah crying out to God, feeling that his ministry, his prophetic ministry, has gotten to a place of insignificance. He's feeling like he's not being effective anymore, that people aren't listening to him, that his voice is no longer relevant. And God said, the problem is that you have become affected by the society rather than affecting the society. And so when God says here that you shall stand before me, he said, and take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. When he said, take forth the precious, he's talking about the anointing. He said, you're going to need to separate yourself from the secular, if you allow me to say, I really don't like to use that word because the Bible don't really distinguish that the way we think about it. Okay. Or you want to say from the carnal versus the spiritual. You got to take the precious from the vial. Recognize that you are anointed, that you have a call, that you have a purpose, and you can't mix with everything and everybody if I'm going to use you. What God's really calling him to do, he said, I'm calling you to sanctification. Now, that's a word that we don't like to use in the church today, sanctification, because we think sanctification means that you can't look fly no more. Okay? We think sanctification means that you can't wear makeup no more. Can I tell y'all, I want y'all to wear makeup. Okay? It helps the preacher out. Because I got to be looking at y'all all the time. I don't want to be looking at no ugly convention. So ain't nothing wrong with a little makeup. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. He'll beautify the meek with salvation, or Maybelline or Mac, Estee Lauder, you know, whatever helps. Just beautify the meek. Okay. And so, but sanctification doesn't mean not wearing makeup. It doesn't mean everybody got to look like you 90 years old on the mother's board. Okay, but it's talking about understanding that there's a difference between us and them. Understand that you are called out just to be part of the church. The church is called the ecclesia. It means called out ones. Called out ones. Called out ones. How many of y'all realize out of all the people that played basketball, those at the lead of the NBA, they called out. Come on. They're at another level than everybody else. Okay? You know, one of the things that that basketball players, not just basketball, but athletes, you know, most athletes who become very good and at the top of their game, literally top of the game, they, many times they started when they're very young. They may have started as juveniles at, in elementary school. And so you know, when you play rec, everybody make the team. You just sign up, pay your $15, your $25, everybody make the team. You play rec. And then you get up, and then the first level, you know, with the B team, C team, whatever. But the higher you go up, it becomes more selective. Okay, and then what happened? You know, the boys, they get to high school, and, you know, and they on varsity, you know, so they walk around like they got all this swag, you know, because I play varsity, I'm on a varsity basketball team, I'm on a varsity football team, and you think you all that, okay? And then a few of them get to play at the next level, in the college level, and then when they get to the college level, many times it's so shocking. It's so shocking because even though in high school they may have been the number one, number two on the team. And then when they get to college, they realize, oh, they're all just as good as me. Okay? And the higher you go, the more selective it becomes. Are you following me? The higher you go in the kingdom of God, the more selective you gotta become. You got to become more selective about who you're around and what you do, glory. You know, and there's this casualization of the church today. I'm telling y'all, I'm not willing to enter into it. Everybody, like, it seems like everybody today, they're trying to fight for their right to be carnal. They're fighting for the right to do what the world does and prove to you that it don't affect my salvation. Can I tell y'all, I ain't trying to do that. God been too good to me. I know what has brought me this far. And as the old song, the church said, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting his holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, 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 oh. Can't turn around. Because he never failed. And so I'm not trying. And so people today seem like they're trying to say, what can I do and get away with and still be saved? How close can I get to the world and still be anointed? Watch this. How much can I do just like everybody else and still maintain my congregation? That ain't me, y'all. Because God been too good to me and I ain't trying to mess this up. So you got to see where God brought you from and realize what brought you here and what God's done for you. And you get to the place say, I ain't trying to mess this up, glory to God. I look at my wife. I look at my family. I look at my children and the life that God's given us. I ain't trying to mess this up. I have children that love me and respect me and honor me. I'm not trying to mess this up. Look at that verse from the New Living Translation. Jeremiah 5:19. Gets a little clearer. God tells Jeremiah, who's crying, that nobody listens to me anymore. I'm not effective anymore. This is how the Lord responds. He said, if you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones. God said, you got to watch what's coming out of your mouth. Then he says, you will be my spokesman. And here's what I really want you to see. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. God tells Jeremiah, if you want to be anointed, if you want to be my man, if you want my hand to rest upon you, if you want my anointing to rest upon you, then you must influence them. Don't let them influence you. Glory to God. God said, you got to realize you are here to affect, not be affected. And so I want to talk today, start this series today called about being a person of significance. Being a person of significance. Or should I say, I'm sorry, being a person of influence. I talked about significance a couple months ago. Okay. Being a person of influence. Everybody say a person of influence. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. Now, influence, it's hard to really describe what influence is because it's not a real tangible thing. But influence is this ability to affect others without force or pressure. It's the ability to affect the way people think, the way people view you, without force and without pressure. When you have influence, you may not even know that you have it. There are people watching you every day who you're influencing. You don't even know it. My daughter, I think God just gives her sometimes she has these things just to remind her who she is and where she came from, even about her future. You got somebody reach out to her through social media and said, "You may not even remember me." He says, "But I remember you was either from elementary school or high school." And they said, "I remember I didn't know how to pray." She said, "And you told me how to pray to God, showed me how to pray to God." She said, "I know it was many years ago. We were in, you know, elementary school or at best high school." And she said, and I didn't even know how to, you showed me how to make my prayers personal to God. She said, "And I have never forgotten that. And it changed my life." And my daughter, she hardly remembers the girl. But obviously that greatly influenced her. There are people you are influencing every day and you don't even know it. Ideally, you're influencing them positively. Unfortunately, you can also influence people negatively. This ability to affect other people's lives without force, without pressure, without trying to exert energy on them. And there's a common concern today that the church, that men and women of God, and even in Christendom, that we're losing our influence. I don't know how many of you get our local state paper, but they published, and when I got home, I saw the hard copy of it in the state paper, and it says, "Losing Faith." Headlines of the Saturday state paper, "Losing Faith," and big, bold letters across the front. Full-page article. Then it shows a church with pews, and only about two or three people in the pews. It was talking about how in the state of South Carolina, how church attendance and denominations are diminishing it. It showed that in the mainstream denominations of the Southern Baptists, which tends to be, had traditionally been the largest in the South, this, among the Southern Baptists and about the mainstream Methodists and the Presbyterian and the like of them, that since 2011, 92 churches have closed throughout our state. Now, we know in the hood, okay, that's 92, but y'all know there's a whole lot that they didn't even know was open. Who have opened and shut, okay, who tried and it didn't work. Okay, churches that are shutting down by the droves. I saw another statistic about people who are in ministry, full-time ministers. I mean, these are people who have been trained and gone to seminary and were serving in churches with full-time ministry, how they're leaving ministry every day, just going back to get regular jobs because they can't support themselves or they're tired of dealing with the people and all that comes with it. And so there's a concern about the church diminishing. There's concern about the church losing its influence. And you keep hearing, I keep telling you, people saying folks aren't coming to church. Somebody shout, "The devil is a liar," because I'm sitting right up here today. But listen, but part of this also is that we've come to think that our relationship with God is just about us. It's not just about you. I talked to someone today, someone this week, and they said, "Man," and I thought it was real noble when they said it. I thought about it. They said, somebody said to me, "Well, you know, God's been good to me, so I realize I need to give him back his time. So I need to come to church because he's been good to me." But see, you got the wrong perspective. You ain't coming to church for God. You're not doing God a favor by coming to church. You come in here and it's helping your mind to get renewed. It's helping you to think right. It's helping you to be able to counter the culture. It's helping you to keep ascending even though this world has a negative pull. It's helping you to have the blessing of the Lord upon your life. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You ain't getting no brownie points for God. You're not doing a favor to God by coming to church. No, this is for your soul. This is for you to think right. For you to act right. For you to maintain your hope. for you to maintain your joy, for you to maintain your peace. You got to fight against all the negative stuff that this world's trying to bring your way. No, I will go into the house of the Lord. David said, my feet had well nigh slipped until I went into the house of the Lord. Then I understood therein. Then I understood that God going to bless me, and I'm going to continue to go forward, and I'm not going to lust or be envious of the world, because I know that God's got something greater for me, but I'm going to have to press into his presence. So stop thinking you're doing God a favor by coming to church. It's something about being in the house of God with people of like precious faith. When y'all used to party, you could party at the house by yourself. Hey. Yeah. But then there's something about that music going on and everybody walking out there. Mm-hmm, right in this section. Y'all were doing it. Look to your neighbor and say, we got to get together and party. Nobody knows our God like us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody can praise him like the saints praise him. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if you got breath, you ought to praise. But if you're saved, you praise him better. If you got breath, you ought to say, but if you know he healed you, you praise him better. If you got breath, you ought to pray, but if you know he protected you and the blood's covering you, you praise him a little bit better. Nobody knows like we know what the Lord has done for us. So when I get together, your praise ignites my praise, and my praise all the night, your praise, and my fire gets with your fire, and my God, we start doing something that the world will envy. Yeah, there's a private joy, but there's a corporate joy. Sometimes I'm dancing and I'm thinking about what the Lord's done for me, but then I see somebody run around the church and I know a little bit about their story, and I get excited with them because I realize the devil tried to stop them, but he wasn't able to stop them, and they're giving God a praise. They're giving God a run. They're expressing what God's done for them, and now I'm not just praising for me. I'm praising for what he did for you too. Look at somebody say, my praise isn't always selfish. Woo! Sometimes I'm praising for what he did for my sister, for my brother on the left and on the right. Yeah, he did it for me, but I know what he did for them. I know what they've been through. My praise ain't just selfish. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. The church should not be losing our influence. We ought to be becoming more influential than ever. So there's concern. Church is falling off. People aren't coming to church anymore. And they have this misnomer. They're thinking that they're saying that we are now living in a post-Christian era. Post-Christian era means that people, the church used to have influence. People used to be Christian, but they have left the church. They walked away from the church. And maybe that was true of my generation. Okay, where most of us came to church, especially down south. I mean, down south, I mean, we the buckle on the Bible Belt. Okay, and down south, people will lie and say they go to church. See, up north, you meet somebody, you go to church. What church you go to? I don't go to no church. Down south, y'all lie. What church you go to? Slippery Rock. What church you go to? Sinking Sand. Who's your pastor? Dr. Jones. We just make up stuff because you feel embarrassed that you don't go to church. Because you know, down south, everybody's supposed to go to church. So people lie. And so there was this history of us being raised in the church and we coming from the church. But some of you millennials, y'all go to school with people and gone to school with people who, it's not that they don't go to church anymore. They never went to church. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Their families never went to church. And so they even think you strange for going. And so it's not so much, I think, that in this generation we're in a post-Christian era. I think we have to think back to the days of Paul's ministry where we're in a pre-Christian era. Where a lot of these people, it's not that they forgot about Jesus or they're neglecting Jesus or they walked away from Jesus. They never knew Jesus. And that's what we have to think about. That there's so many people we're taking for granted. And you know, I grew up at a time where somebody would rebuke a child. If a child was cussing, Okay? You would grab anybody's child and say, now you know better than that. They don't know better now. They don't know better. Because that's how mama talked to them. And daddy, and everybody ain't no talk like that. And they will cuss you out for touching them. You better get you. Now, man, they be looking up at you. You better get your blame. Be some bold little kids today. Make you feel like I will fight a 5-year-old. Better get out of my face, little boy. So for many, they don't know about Jesus. You have to think about that. A lot of the people who you're seeing doing things and acting in a way, okay. There was a time I used to talk about shacking, about living together, okay, that folks had a conviction about. Now people think it's weird They think it's weird if you don't live together before you get married. Right in this section. Tell me you got to try it out before you buy it. Okay? What? See, with all these people keep trying out these cars. When you go to buy a new car, that ain't a new car no more. Y'all don't like me now. Pastor Marshall looked at me like, back up out of this, Bishop. Expect me to pay a new car price, but this ain't new no more. It's been tried out too many times. Got creases in the seat. I mean, what's the limit? Come on, think about it. No, really, let's stop. What's the limit? How many times is trying out enough? You know there got to be a limit because you get a point you don't want to talk about it. Well, can we talk about how many people you've been with? How many people you've been with? I never heard this before. I was sitting there talking with a young couple getting ready to get married, and we got to talking about, you know, that area. And young man said, well, it ain't like she got a body count. I said, huh? Y'all never heard that, huh? Oh, y'all know body count. It ain't like she got a body count. It's like she's been with some people, but it ain't like she got a body count. Well, some of y'all got a body count. Body's hidden. In closets and trunks and back of cars and bathrooms. Come on, at what point, where does that stop? Come on, where does that stop? How I get on that? What was I supposed to be talking about? Okay, yeah. So for some people, for me to say, you should not be living together until you get married, they're shocked. People will boldly come and tell me as their pastor, you know, we live together, we've been our partner. And what I realize, and I can't come down like, you know better, because they don't know better. Because see, if you was raised in my household, where they had a mother who shacked with a man most of my life, you don't know better. And if your parents do that, nobody's going to tell you, you know, this is wrong. Because if I tell you it's wrong, then I'm pointing at myself. So if you grew up with certain things that don't line up with the word of God, you don't know that's wrong. And then you come to church, you're like, what kind of preacher is this? Saying all this stuff. Nobody doing that no more. You mean you're supposed to wait till you're married? This is a hard saying. So I realized, we're in a pre-Christian era. So many things we take for granted that people know, they don't know. So many things that we take for granted that people ought to do, they don't do. You'd be surprised how many parents don't realize you shouldn't cuss at your kids and call them little bees. And come on, you'd be surprised because that's how they everybody does it. And they joke about it. Comedians joke about it, how you talk to your kids, and you'd be surprised. Some of y'all was beat regularly with switches till you have marks going all down your back. Okay? And some, we joke about it. We joke about it. Go about going to get the switch and all that kind of stuff. And we, yeah, it was abuse. Nobody told us it was abuse. Now, y'all quiet. I know. I wasn't beat with switches because, see, I lived in the projects. I had to go down 11 floors and go across the street to the park. If my mama told me to go get a switch, I wouldn't be able to find one. Come back tomorrow. I've been looking for that switch, mama. I tell you, I've been trying to find, but you know, we in the projects, it's hard to find switches around here, mama. So my mama didn't wait for no switch. I got beat with the iron cord, with extension cords. Okay? And we can talk about all this stuff. That's abuse, y'all. Amen. It is abuse. That doesn't mean you shouldn't discipline your children. But we can just perpetuate stuff that we've been seeing, and then somebody tells you that you shouldn't do this. You're like, what? What? So what can happen, you can become functional in your dysfunction.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Being a Person of Influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.